The committee will take to order and we'll start with approval of the minutes.
I'll move
I'll second. Are there any questions or corrections? Seeing none, all in favor?
it.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Departmental requests. We'll start with Marie and her fabulous boots.
Aye. You know I wore these just for this committee.
Of course.
And since it's April Fool's Day too, I was like, oh, what should I do? Should I tell them like I'm gonna get rid of all my shoes? I'm like, they're not gonna fall for that one. Here I am in matching boots. All right, so the first item is authorizing a public hearing relative to land submitted for inclusion in certified agricultural districts during the 2026 annual 30-day period. Like we only had like three this year, so small turnout. But I do have to thank Tess's office. They put the announcements in their newsletters. Eddie did a social media campaign. So I don't know why we didn't get more, but we've gotten quite a few over the last few years.
How many of the agricultural products that or districts that can be or properties that can be included in these districts are included?
We kind of, there's probably more that could be included, but we do leave it up to the landowners because we don't want to be too overbearing, like a government saying you need to be in the agricultural district. So we leave it really up to them.
What is the benefit?
The benefits are one, you have to apply to be in, but the rules are pretty lenient too, according to ag and markets. So one of the advantages is, if you are, if you do agriculture, like what's agricultural practices that are acceptable to New York State? And let's say you have a city dweller move in next door, they're gonna, move into the country and they don't like the smell of manure, and you're harvesting crops at, 11 o'clock or 2 a.m. because the weather says you can. And let's say they lodge a complaint. New York State will stand behind that agricultural parcel owner and say, these are acceptable agricultural practices according to New York State, and help further ag in New York State. So please be quiet. So it's usually those types of things. It's also a land preservation tool in a way, because once you're in the ag district, the only time you can opt out is during the 8-year review period. So
Okay.
every 8 years, that district that your parcels are located in has a full review.
Super. All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Move.
Second. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Second item is notice regarding upcoming District 3 8-year review.
Thank you.
So this will be the time that people opt to get out of it. Let's say maybe they're going to develop it into a commercial, something like that. They may opt out. I think in the last three reviews we had, I think we had one parcel opt
Would this be an opportunity if they opted out, they could put solar panels on it? Can they do that when they're in the ag district, or can just
They can
strictly?
do it when they're in the ag district
Okay.
because usually with the notice that goes to NYSDAM, if it's under that 30 acres or under 5 megawatts, New York State Ag and Markets sends out a letter saying it's an okay.
Okay. All right, entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
I'll
Sorry.
second. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Next item is just an update about the Ag and Farmland Protection Board committee. They oversee the 8-year reviews and the annual 30-day reviews. I do have one opening for that. So I'm going to send out another email to the Ag and Farm, the existing Ag and Farmland Protection Board members. I've kind of put it out to the people on this floor. I've talked to Tess. I believe I mentioned it to Belinda. So if anyone has any suggestions of a person that they feel might be a good fit for the Ag and Farmland Protection Board, please send them my way.
Very good.
And the The next item is just another update. It's the triannual NYSDOT and FDA 5311 compliance review. So this happens every 3 years. So we had one in 2023, and we're having one in 2026. FDA comes out because we received 5311 funding, and so it's a compliance review. I believe the kickoff meeting for that is in April, and it also entails me gathering a lot of information, also from other departments like finance, to include in there, and then they have a reviewer come out to the site. We also visit the Elmira Bus Garage, and that'll be in August. And the other one, requesting authorization to issue an RFP for one bus shelter. I've talked with purchasing a little bit. If it's under 20,000, we may not need one, but just because everything else is going up in price, I figured it would probably be a good safe thing to have one just in case. So
where is this for?
This is for the Dana Lyons building. So there was one there. It was vandalized a few years ago. The Village of Bath took it down. It was at the end of its life cycle too. They say usually for capital projects, a 10-year life cycle. So this one, I guess in a way, maybe it would have gotten in the way while they were doing that. But now that the building is almost done, we're going to be putting up a new one for them.
And we do have federal funds that cover this.
Yep.
All right, so I'll entertain a motion, please.
A motion.
I'll second.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Yeah, this is important for them to have the bus up there. I know there's been some discussion about it via email, so thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm excited to see a new bus stop too, just to see if there's changes. I've looked a little bit. They come in every shape and size, color, and everything.
Now, don't we have hookups on those for Wi-Fi? Does this one get one, or does it automatically have it, or
the buses have Wi-Fi?
Okay, I thought the bus stops did too for some reason.
We'll check.
I don't think the old one did, but and I think I'd like to include solar lighting on it.
Okay.
So that way we have lighting. And that seems to be for some of the other. I did talk to Allegheny and Chemung County, and they've recently kind of ordered them too, and they included solar lighting as part of it too. So,
okay.
So,
and where are we going? Any update on wasn't there supposed to be a transportation study done by DOT? Have we heard anything about that?
We keep asking every month on our monthly call.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Okay, so no definitive answer on...
Yeah, and then it's like, well, we're just finishing up phase one, and then they have to go around and present phase one to everyone.
But,
so hopefully by the end of the year...
Transportation is an important part of our comprehensive plan, so
yep.
In discussing it and discussing other issues around the area, it's really important that we kind of have an idea of what they're doing with it. I'm sure
yeah.
It's going to be a very important factor moving forward.
And I'm hoping this plan will include a lot of things, because I think at some point there was some money set aside or we could apply for more, but what we have on hand wouldn't cover much.
Okay.
Where if New York State's going to come in and do it, you would hope that it would be a very comprehensive study. And since they fund a lot of things to, you know, have the best interests of what they can fund and everything like that. So that's what we've really been holding out for. I think a lot of people have in this area, like Chemung, Corning will be in part of that. We are, and it is, especially since this transportation is a challenge in the rural areas.
Yes, it is. Does anyone else have any other questions for Marie? All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Are you? Oh, Griffin, there you are. Yep. You're up, buddy.
Morning.
Morning.
So the first item is just more of an advisory that I'm going to be creating a Steven 250 commemoration committee to help with the planning for the Steven 250 event that I'll be hosting in September. Anyone on the legislature is welcome to join this committee. Rochelle, you're also welcome to join since you signified you wanted to join, so you're more than welcome.
You start taking minutes. We don't need any action on this.
Nope.
And it's really more of an advisory board than a committee.
Yeah.
Just to have that noted in the minutes.
Yep.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your efforts on getting this going and being able to celebrate it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And as a quick update, I sent the funding to, or the budget to New York State. So I'm just waiting for them to get back on what they like. Hopefully they like everything that I sent. And the second item is something that will need approval for an invoice. It's supposed to, without my mistake, it's supposed to say FY for fiscal year 2025. Historian Luncheon Catering, that was for a splitting the bill for catering for the Historian Luncheon that happened in October of 2025. That was the first time we had an event like that in 30-ish years. And that's the only reason why I agreed to help pay for half of the bills, because this is the first time we've had anything like this in such a long time. And I think that event was the only time we'll have it for a while. So it's not going to be a recurring payment that I can foresee in the next couple of years. But I do, I'm asking for approval to pay for it. I do have it in the budget to pay for it. So I just need approval from AIP to pay for it.
All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So we do have a request from Mr. Parker is here because he has an activity update for after this, if anyone has any questions on this request. But Jeff has talked to Chris and I over a few months. I know he's talked to the legislators on his Soil and Water Board about this. Obviously, with all the changes in technology and the different surveying and data gathering that they must do for their projects, the ability to leverage technology would be good. It also does have an impact on us as a county, because many of the projects we collaborate on or certainly has a public impact. So my suggestion was, because this GPS survey equipment is not cheap, and you know their fund balances aren't as deep as ours potentially are, that if there was a request to bring it to this committee. And the request is for $20,000 to support the purchase of this GPS survey equipment. So that would be a one-time fee or a one-time contribution from the county for $20,000. The justification and the detail Jeff sent and it is attached. And if the committee is interested, I'd recommend it be come from contingency, which we haven't used for 2026.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. We inevitably will, but there certainly is $20,000 available in there if you're interested.
That is true. We have a motion and a second. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
I think it's a good project for both outfits, the county and Soil and Water. And the Soil and Water, I believe the Soil and Water workers are going to be the ones that run this equipment. Jeff?
Yes. I brought Josh Meacham with me. I want to introduce Josh to you all.
You want to go up to the microphone so we can hear you?
Here we go.
I know that's a dangerous invitation. Make it official.
Push.
Is it green?
It's red.
Green.
Oh, there we go. We're green. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Not really. Something. We got to look at that. Something wrong.
No, I wanted to introduce you to Josh Meacham. He's probably my senior technician at this point in time in my career. So with the flooding we had, the workload that we had to try to keep up with, and we're trying to keep up with the changes in the FEMA regulations, and every FEMA stream site needs to have a Army Corps permit done. With the 80-some permits that we had to produce in a very quick, short period of time, my poor staff was getting tired of using the old laser level equipment, taking survey notes, bringing them back to the office, calculating out the elevations, drawing the cross sections by hand, and the profiles, and drawing the plan views by hand, and marking them up with Crayola crayons, basically. We need to move to the future to save time, to make us more productive in order to get our workload completed. So that's one of the big reasons why I'm very interested in this survey equipment. Josh has been trained on it. He's also took it out of the field last week, Josh. And maybe you can just give him an idea of some of the.
Yeah.
They don't allow me to use it yet. It's probably a good idea, but I think they can. So.
Yeah, just a brief overview, kind of like what the time frame is. So in 2023, myself and two other techs, we went out to Bennett's Creek at the Carrie O'Brien project and did five cross sections, which was a full day of doing cross sections, and it was only five, and it was probably about 150 survey points. As we know, everything's changed down on Bennett's Creek, and we had to redo the whole survey. So last week, after we went out with the new equipment, we took 1,075 shots in about 3 hours. And when we came back to the office, it took about 2 hours, and we had 10 cross sections done. And we had a complete topographic survey between all of those shots. If we were to use the old style, the laser level, it would almost be impossible to have a complete topographic survey. You could do one with a total station, but that would be weeks of plotting and probably days of surveying. So when it comes down to a lot of these projects that we have going, time is of the essence for sure. And if we can get, you know, 10 cross sections done in 2 hours and almost 1,100 survey shots done in 3.5 hours, it's definitely beneficial to us. It also runs off the DOT network. So instead of being an arbitrary elevation, it will be off of true elevations based on the DOT network. So everything is much more accurate. It can get down to, it grabs about 30 satellites, and it can get down to about 2 inches of accuracy versus, you know, human error or whatever you want to say with a laser. If a laser is out of scope or whatever, if it hasn't been calibrated lately, there is a little bit of variation. So when it comes down to it, it definitely would be a huge help for us for sure.
Nice. Justin, you had a question.
I did. Josh, is there continuing ed type of things that you're trained on, obviously, like other guys in-house training, or?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we're going through a company called Maine Technical. They're out of Syracuse. And when we talked with them, they have a full gamut of training. He came down and spent an entire day with us to go through it. Anytime I give him a call, he answers, and he knows that program so well that he actually has like all the spots on the data collector memorized. So he'll tell you, go click up the left corner, you know, click here, this, that, and everything. But yeah, he went through this training with me and the two other technicians. And then the software that we also purchased, which is a CAD software, the microsurvey, they just did a whole, I think it was 4-hour training with us to do that. And at any point in time, we can talk to them and get any questions answered or any more training that we would need. And they, like I said, I've called him out in the field, and I've called him at the office, and it's been, you know, pretty quick response. If he doesn't answer, he can give us any answers that we need.
One more, is there a continuing cost of, like, it seems like everything nowadays has a trick of, you
yep.
know, annual upgrades or things like that.
So the GPS survey equipment will have some firmware upgrades, but when it comes down to total cost, I don't believe it would be more than 2% of total cost of the survey equipment. The CAD software is a different style software. We were pursuing Civil 3D, CAD Civil 3D. That is a yearly subscription per license, which we would end up having to have 3 licenses and then have to pay yearly, which is about $5,000 per year per license.
We went to micro survey CAD, which is a one-time purchase of, I believe, about $3,500. And then if you want to upgrade that every year, it's 10% of the purchase cost. And that is also retroactive. So whenever you purchase that program, it will stay that cost from the date you purchased it. So if microsurvey goes up to $5,000 next year, it wouldn't be $500. It would just stay at the $350. And that's if you want to. I mean, if we talked to them and he said you could upgrade it every year, every third year, it's up to you and what you want it to do to stay up to date. But yeah, the expense of that is much, much less than something like Civil 3D. Yes, yep, for sure.
All right, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any questions or comments?
I think the way it'll probably work, seeing the training and so on, the soil and water will do whatever the county needs surveying, but soil and water people will run the equipment because the thing is over 40 grand. If everybody's not trained properly,
right,
basically don't want to mess up.
Right.
But the benefit of all of us.
Mm-hmm. All right. No other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Sounds like a great purpose. All right. Now you're back up to the microphone.
Thank you, Josh. So I think we had sent out the activity report that was put together for this morning. Just go over that quickly. We have in our stream bank stabilization program, which you folks fund at the $75,000 level on an annual basis through our appropriation. We have about $198,000 worth of estimates out there. Well, we're not going to get all those done with our county stream bank program. So we're looking at other grant opportunities at this point for some of those projects here in the near future. So we ended up hiring a brand new technician in January, Brian Bellinger from Wayland. He's a Alfred University student with a 4-year degree in environmental science. He was our summer intern last year that worked on the buffer program that we have going on with forest preparing buffer stuff. So he's come on full time. So that has actually got our staff up to eight individuals that are working for the Soil and Water District, one of those being a part-time individual that runs our hydroseeding program. We now have 4 technicians that are being ag technician and 3 regular district technicians. So we've staffed back up to where I was probably 15 years ago. It took a long time, but we're gaining. We've got some funding through the Upper Susquehanna Coalition to hire a summer intern this year for our continuation of our buffer, riparian buffer program. And there's also a tree planting program that the Upper Susquehanna Coalition has forwarded to us here recently, where we got a few landowners who are looking at planting anywhere from 0.2 acres to up to 2 acres of forest plantings. And so we've got a couple individuals ready for that. Soil and Water District employees will assist those individuals with that planting plan and the planting. So that looks like it's going to go well. We're continuing with the FEMA assistance. We still have projects out there that have not yet been obligated by FEMA, believe it or not, in Greenwood and Greenwood primarily right now. So we're still working on those. We've done an excess of 80-some permits for those programs just for the FEMA sites. That doesn't include the sites that we do on a normal basis. So that's reason why some of this equipment is going to be very important. The other reason it's important that we have this equipment is that We have a gut feeling that in the near future, DEC will not accept my hand drawings anymore. They're putting me out the pasture with what they're doing. Anyway, we're participated with Jasper Tewksbury School for their career day developments. We're on the docket to attend Assemblywoman Bailey's Women in Agricultural event, which is going to be interesting because we've never done anything like that before. And I know Mike Hanna's got an AIP Small Business Roundtable that we're going to be attending for that. With agricultural producers, we have to continue with the soil group worksheet so they can get their agricultural assessment and their tax relief through that program. So I had one individual that pretty much is now is able to do all of those herself. Jody Appleby, who works for us, she completed 114 landowners, even with Tuscarora's doing their new reval down there. Yeah. We're looking at being in the Dairy Festival Parade. My staff enjoys getting out and doing some of these different things. So we're also going to set up a booth at the Urbana Truck and Equipment Show, which is Fluffy's show there that we do at the Lake in June. We're applying for grant funding for the ag producers right now. We're working on those grants. They have our Chuck Susick, who's our ag environmental management individual that works with all the agricultural producers on their grant outlooks and what grants we're looking for. So he's putting a package together to send to the state for those grants. We've just recently heard that the Colebrook Resiliency grant money is out there. So I'm formulating a meeting with the town of Urbana and possibly the county individuals to go over which sites we have in that watershed that we need to do some stream stabilization on after the devastating floods that we had in that watershed. We'll be meeting with the BEC also on that. We have to do the Chesapeake Bay data gathering for agricultural producers so that we can meet our TMDL goals for the Chesapeake Bay for EPA. I have one employee, who Jody Appleby again, looks on that continually on a daily basis. So in order to keep our ag environmental management individuals up to speed so that we can show that we're doing good work in this county and that we are protecting our natural resources and our water quality. We're collaborating again. We still have, I have more coalitions set up in this county than any other county in the state, believe it or not. We have the Finger Lakes Lake Ontario Watershed Protection Alliance that we are part of for the Ontario watershed. And we're looking at implementing best management practices on agriculture. We do a cover crop program with some of that money for the ag producers in the watersheds for the MOPA region, for the Lake Ontario region. We also do quite a bit of municipal work. We had a visit last year by DEC that manages the funding for this program. We took them out in the field and showed them some of the stabilization projects that we've done on the east side of Keuka Lake and the west side of Keuka Lake to show them that because of our topography and the erosion potential that we have, we need to maintain our culverts for municipalities and the outlets and inlets of those so that we can make them stable. So a lot of that funding for that type of work, road ditch management. We have a brand new watershed coalition that was just probably formed, maybe year ago. The Eastern Finger Lakes Watershed Coalition for the implementation of pest management practices, again, on agricultural projects and stream bank and municipal work. So with this new coalition, again, this survey equipment is going to help us because we have to do engineering designs on a lot of the stream bank projects that we're going to be doing for that. So we're receiving monies for staffing through that program and for the implementation of projects in the field. So to the tune of quite a bit of money. That's where we're at.
Wonderful. Does anyone have questions for Jeff? Wow. Except for when your microphone keeps going in and out. Well, that's not anything you're doing.
Okay, I'm not pushing
it. It's modern technology. Thank you so much for the update. We really appreciate all the hard work that you guys do.
And I want to thank you very much for supporting us. We have had very supportive county legislature, very supportive of the soil water districts through my 37 years of being here. And I'm glad that we're able to share the cost of this equipment, because it's one of those things that I never really like to try to throw that stuff into my budget unless I really need it. And it just became apparent after our budget cycle that this was really needed. So I'd rather do it this way rather than inflate my budget to try to get extra money out of you in the beginning, rather than reality, you know.
Your work benefits so many people, not just the agricultural community, but the entire community. And it's a really good investment on our part. So we're happy to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right, Kevin.
Good morning, everyone. Not sure if the mic's going to work for me, but I'll speak up so you can.
Intermittently, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm here on behalf of the Steuben County Destination Development Grant Scoring Committee to present our recommended awards for the allocated $100,000 for the Steuben County Destination Development Grant Program. We reviewed 10 applications that we had received, which is an increase over last year, which is great to see. We are seeing increased interest in this program. But we do see also an opportunity for some of the organizations and some of the communities might need a little help getting things together and figuring out how they can best leverage this program. So we're looking into how we can help with that as well. But we came down to five applications that came through that we recommend the projects for funding. And I'll go through those real quick. Number one was the Corning Public Art Program. It's a public art trail signage. This resulted from the recent Corning Downtown Public Art Strategy. This is an organization that has been formed from that strategy, and they put in an application for create a cohesive walkable cultural tourism experience in downtown Corning by connecting public art and connecting hands with the history and the stories that way. Physical signage, and also a digital presentation. The next one is for the Steuben County Fairgrounds, internet and camera infrastructure. Really the major, you know, modernize, we believe, a major county venue to support events, vendors, and visitor convenience. We saw great value in that. The YMCA Watson Woods Project, the trails and maple restoration. That's to expand outdoor recreation. That's to put in a multi-use trail at that facility. The Y program is actually looking at a unique site in New York State to offer potentially day passes instead of just memberships for the Y. So anybody could go utilize the resources that are being involved there. And then number four was the Corning Gaffer District, was electrical infrastructure in the Bridge Street portion of the Gaffer District. Really, that was to create infrastructure to help enhance downtowns. Also has a beautification program for that, placemaking and seasonal programming we extend. And number five is the Glenn H. Curtis Museum accessibility upgrades to improve access and experience at a cultural attraction that we have here in Hammondsport that has over 23,000 visitors. They have a strong population of visitors that would benefit a automatic door system, whether it's wheelchair or it's walkers or just, you know, it's tough to just open the door and try to navigate through those spaces. So that's that project. So the total of the five programs beat that $100,000 allocation that we have already approved.
I liked the way you included the projects that were not funded. So we had a good feeling for who applied and what you picked. The only thing I did notice, do we not get any applications from anything Hornell Way?
They tried to do two projects. They just couldn't get everybody together.
Okay.
I got an email from both the IDA up there and the HPG, the Hornell Partners for Growth, saying that they were not applying this year, but this is a goal for them to try to get something together that they can apply for.
Wonderful. It's nice to see a full application process from all around the county in different areas benefiting from the grant.
Had great support this year with other organizations really helping out as well. So that helps.
That's nice. So I'll entertain a motion. Make a motion.
One second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Does anyone else have any questions or comments regarding the allocation of grant money? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Thank you for the hard work and the applications and the, like I said, the various types of projects and things that you are approving these awards for look great.
Great. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. Are you handling this?
Yes. If you don't mind, I have a couple other items. Can do them before or after. Doesn't matter. No official action needed, but I was contacted by the Corning Chamber of Commerce. If you're not familiar, they are located in Baron von Steuben building on Market Street. Their landlord said that they have to move from the first floor to the seventh floor. They will maintain kind of like an information station with brochures and also direct people if they have specific questions to bring them up and come up to the seventh floor. They historically get $20,000, and that's the amount since I've been here that they get annually. But they wanted, number one, to alert us of this move from the first floor to the seventh floor, which it sounds like they don't control. I'm told that that's where they're going, but also to make sure that, you know, that's not a main point of, I guess, you know, disagreement or with making eligible for the funding. They use the funds to help support their administrative functions and other things as well, not just being there on the first floor, but just wanted to bring that to your attention. I feel comfortable saying, yeah, that's fine with me. I mean, it does sound fine with me, candidly. They really don't have a choice, but wanted to just put that in front of you to make sure that, in your view, that's not going to make them ineligible for funding or something like that.
Does anyone have any comments on that? I don't think that we pay the chamber based on their location. We pay the chamber based on what they do for the community. So in my mind, it doesn't matter if they're on the first floor or the second floor.
I agree.
Okay, super. All right, you don't need any action on that.
No action, Justin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are they sticking to that building because there's a rate given to them versus finding?
I think because of the rate, I think it's a pretty fair fair cost share. Knowing some nonprofits that need their space need is pretty limited, and so to get other space on Market Street, it's normally much bigger and obviously more costly. So, but I can have a conversation with them about, you know, are they looking? They certainly want to stay on Market Street.
Well, I mean, that's not for us to fully decide, but as far as I remember, First Street's commercially zoned as well. So, you know, I'm shocked Corning doesn't try to expand in different spots of the city versus just the Market Street, but this is best for their business. That's how it is right this moment.
I think Market is the heartbeat. of the neighbors in the city.
Half a block over the other side. It's not like it's a mile away.
Sure. Well, there are, and there are other organizations that have looked for other properties to rent, and the amount of space that's available is limited as well, and it's extremely costly. So yeah. I'd speculate that's probably part of the problem as well.
Yeah, and the Steuben building gets a lot of foot traffic because they have, you know, the coffee shop. Kevin's officer is in there. You know, you have a lot of related agencies in there, and so it gets more foot traffic than most of the other buildings.
Any other comment? Okay.
Okay, thank you. One more thing before the new business item. Kelly made me aware of a state bill that is making its way through committee. It sounds like it's been proposed over the years, but Allegheny County has just memorialized against this bill. There is a Senate and Assembly counterpart, and what it would allow is for essentially New York State to control siting of renewable energy technologies on state land, including state forests. We have almost 25,000 acres of state forest in Steuben County. Allegheny County, I think, had 40,000, if I recall, and they memorialized against essentially renewable energy development without local oversight in state forests. That was the primary concern.
Yeah, I'm not quite understanding you. So they rejected the idea. So what would this, with regard to the forest, would it like cut down trees to put in solar? Or
it's not
what exactly?
It's not a given, but if this bill passes, it would allow with no local purpose, essentially the state would control and have the ability to do that. It doesn't mean that they will. It doesn't mean that they will, but that's the concern that Allegheny had, and that's why they memorialized in opposition to this bill. And so
is that just that one county?
So far, I haven't seen any other counties.
Hilda sent a link to me, and I'm not aware of any others, but all I'm aware of right now is tax season. So, but I thought it would be important for us to at least have a conversation about it and get on that bandwagon, because if there are going to be projects on our land, then we want to have a say.
Yeah.
Justin?
Do we actually have say if the project's a certain size anyway?
No, right. The Article 10, they took essentially local control.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So it's us making a statement, but yeah. States going to do what they want.
Okay.
I think so. I'll make a statement on that, yeah.
Hilda did say, she just sent me a text because she's listening in on the meeting, that the discussion is also going to intercounty.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, good.
Bob?
My question is, say they cut a bunch of trees down and put in rather a windmill or a because you got to build roads and stuff, or rather solar, 30 acres of solar or whatever. Do we get tax money off that?
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm talking the green energy stuff, not the land.
If it's on state property,
now if it's state forest, we get a small portion of the property tax off of that.
Yeah.
Now, if it's state park, we don't get anything. But if they plant a solar farm on state property, are we able to get?
It's a good question. We'd have to look.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I'm not sure. I mean, and then it opens up. You know, they probably have to drive. A lot of these state forests are on county roads, so you'd have road use agreements that we'd have to do and those sort of things. And again, there's no. To Debbie's point, there's no imminent. We're going to do this, but right. The potential is if this bill passes, then essentially we won't know until they start cutting trees. And,
yeah. Well, I'm just curious, are we going to get any, you know,
we can.
The IDA does, what is
the
it?
Pilots.
Taxes.
The pilots, yeah.
Pilot program. So is it, would we be getting a pilot project for like the school districts and the counties? Because it's not state property? Or are they all totally tax exempt? I mean, I'd love to get out of state property, but I didn't have to pay tax.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that.
Just curious.
There is, you know, those things have a set value, and that's what it's calculated upon. But again, if it's set value on state property, don't know. But we can look into that.
Yeah,
just curious.
But this is Allegheny County.
Hmm.
I'm just curious. Oh, sorry. I just find this so curious that you cut down trees to make solar. Downstate, a lot of the metro rail stations have built up car parks. Like instead of like a flat, parking lot, they actually have roofs now of all solar. So your car is actually protected from the sun and whatever. And there's like vast amounts of these solar panels. Like that to me makes sense. Tops of buildings and things that are already available spaces that or I don't know, I just feel like if it's going to happen in Steuben County, if that's an option, if we can preemptively say, I don't think so, or let's propose X instead of Y.
Sure. It's still important to just simply speak out against
Indeed.
this. Mike.
Well, I think this is great. And then going along with this, I think some of the counties should think about is these data processing centers. There had been a moratorium
Oh, yeah.
that they were considering at the state level. It doesn't seem like they're going to do anything as it relates to that. But I think with the AI boom, this would be a prime area for data centers to be built.
It's
So.
a major issue. We talked about that up at NYSEC, Niagara County, and Eastern Niagara County. We're talking to their county manager. They're dealing with major issues, both from availability of electric, but also they lose a lot of control over the siting of these things. And they frankly don't create a lot of jobs, but
AI works on its own.
they take a lot of space and utility.
Well, even locally in Tompkins County, they're fighting about them, so.
Yeah, that's another one. I haven't seen any bills specifically related to that. There are these bills out there, and so that's why we bring it to you for consideration of memorializing against.
So we don't have the memorialization written, but we would get it. So we would approve it at a special meeting before the main, or is if doing it now is sufficient?
If you approve memorializing against these bills, then that gives us the authority
To put them on the agenda.
to put it. Yeah, and then you don't need a special meeting. The only question would be, are you happy with the wording? But
You better do.
we'll get that.
Okay. All right. Yes,
Get that email to us before the meeting,
yeah.
or just a reminder link, I guess, for everyone that's not here looking for it.
Yep.
We'll send it out ahead of time.
We'll send it. We can't do like markups via email or anything like that, but if you have concerns, it's going to be pretty.
I mean,
We'll make it on the nose, but the nuts and bolts are this legislature memorializes against the passage of these bills.
Any other comments? Okay, so I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
I'll second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? Carries. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And then the other item for new business, Mr. Hanna, Mr. Bueno, and Tim and I met after your last meeting to discuss biosolids and land spreading specifically in terms of the permits issued by the state for land spreading of biosolids. And so bringing this to committee for discussion, I don't know if like you want to lead the discussion or I don't know. Go ahead.
I got a call into DEC. They recently, well, within the last month and a half, I think, are accepting new, well, discussing new criteria for spreadings and whatnot. But they are the ones that are going to make decisions. They are the ones that are going to tell you this is how it can and can't happen and the testing. I don't, and so my our discussion was a request as to opposition to new spreading. New garbage, new sludge that's coming up. We went on to the we were up at the landfill, and clearly the amount of sludge that we made is not that significant. But they're still spreading. Hornell is spreading. They're municipal. They have a municipal permit issued by New York State. So the question is, do we try to override those permits that New York State's issuing by saying in this county there shall be no more spreading? Or a moratorium on that for some period of time to determine whether or not we can or can't do that. I lean towards we can't do that. New York issues those permits. Those permits are going to be good, but we would like to see no new permits. And clearly, if municipals have their permits that New York State has already granted, they're going to be allowed that. I mean, Cornell does have municipal spread. They have a permit to do that, and they will be under pretty strict testing restrictions. So that's across New York State. Testing restrictions was the big discussion that this lady put out in her DEC video. It's about an hour and a half long. I watched it a couple times. I got in and check out of it, but that's the question for New York State. What are they going to do with regard to permits being issued in New York? And then, you know, out of county sludge, out of state sludge, what are we doing and whether we're going to allow spreading or not? So that's really the gist of the question for us is, can we control that? I'm not sure. I seriously consider that we don't in New York State issue those permits, but, you know, there's farming questions involved with that as well.
So you're tossing out a proposal to put a moratorium on new sludge spread?
I think issuing no new permits to be issued, but when we go farther than that, they're reaching out into the DEC restrictions.
I think that's what we talked about, and that's what I would be requesting, that Steuben County have a moratorium on no new permits issued for land spreading within the county. And I feel, you know, Albany County, Schoharie County, both done this. Albany County, I mean, they shut down natural land spreading operations. And I think if Steuben County did this, this could really give put more onus on the state to do something. I mean, last year there was a state bill for a 5-year moratorium. Our local representatives, our local state senators supported it, passed bipartisan support, and it failed. It never came to a vote in the state assembly, thanks to, you know, city Democrats in Syracuse and downstate. They effectively killed it. I did talk to Joe Simblinski a couple of weeks ago about it. He said the same committee is going, it's in the environmental committees in the assembly and the state senate, but he doesn't know if it'll even go anywhere this year. So
Is that a motion? From you?
Motion, no.
A motion.
Yeah, motion to move forward with,
Board for him. Or no new
permits.
And we have a second from Mrs. Logson. So further discussion.
I got the reason the cities want to keep doing this.
To get rid of their sludge.
Because it's going to cost them a lot, tons and tons of thousands and thousands of dollars to put this stuff in chemical landfills or regular landfills. And I heard, Watkins is going to be X amount, thousands of dollars more. And this is what the concern is. People in the city don't want to pay to have their sludge go to a landfill that's going to increase their sewer rates. So they would rather put it on their work fields.
Sure. But that's, if they are killing the land, and killing us slowly. Sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, the testing, they've got to do better testing.
And that's what it looks like, to Tim's point, that's what it looks like DEC is coming with new regulations. And to your point, Bob, the municipalities that already have the permits to land spread, the solids, that would not, what's being proposed would not disturb that in this county.
Only new
permits being
issued. That's what this motion is.
Right. And currently, Steuben County is the city of Cornell that has a permit. So,
see, part of the issue is the ag economy is not very good right now. And if you can get this sludge for free or they pay you to take it,
it's fertilizer.
I'm not a big operator, and you can spend $20,000 on a farm my size on just fertilizer. So if I get this stuff for free and the state says it's okay, I just eliminated a $20,000 bill.
Understood.
You see, so agriculture's interested in it, but yeah, you don't want to ruin your land, but save 20 grand off your fertilizer bill this year.
My question is, is it chemical fertilizer, and what is it doing to your property as well? Deb?
Just on your, what you just said, Bob, I'm curious. So the farmers actually, they're educated. They know that what they're doing is killing their land. It's a matter of
dollars. It depends on who you're talking to. The DEC says that, no, you're not killing your land, and that it's not that bad. And then, you know, you have the organic people say you're destroying your land, you're killing your land. And then the farmer's looking at this, I can save, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, and I don't have to buy fertilizer.
That's
if I take this stuff and spread it on my field. Pardon?
Okay, but then you're killing. But do they know that?
Well, like I said, the DEC says that it's okay.
And that's why, in my opinion, the people with the regulatory authority, and we would like to believe the expertise in terms of what's safe and what's not in DEC, EPA, right. Is they need to, it's unfortunate, I don't want to speak opinion, but EPA seems to have advocated any additional review of this at this point. DEC really needs to set the standards of what is safe and what is not safe, and rely upon experts, rely upon testing, rely upon those things, which is something that candidly is not within our wheelhouse. We don't have the expertise or the staff on site to determine whether it's safe or not. What to, you know, by Tim's analysis and by the motion, if you can, while DEC figures it out, it's been excruciatingly slow. We've said for years since this issue came up, is DEC needs to take a hard stand, be extremely cautious and safe with their decision-making in terms of what needs to be done, but that isn't within their regulatory authority.
And there's no funding that the state could replace this money for these farmers.
Theoretically, they could. They have the ability to allocate funds, but I have not heard that being proposed.
Of course, the thing is, the state could develop the technology to remove the contaminant in the sludge, and then I mean, it would be safe to use. The problem is, the state has not developed the technology yet, and they're still pushing this. Right.
I think.
But I don't know. There's like two parts, but there's the beneficial farming that does fertilize and have those portions, but then it's the permits, the PFAS, things like that. But like you said, and getting around all farmers are getting growth, they're getting yield, they're saving money, but are we continuing the cycle on PFAS in our milk, our beef, whatever cycle? So it's, you know, it's really bigger than us, it's bigger than the state. It's where do we want to make a change?
How dangerous is PFAS? Some people say they're going to kill us all. And others say, oh, no, don't worry about it.
Meanwhile, we haven't got rid of any plastics in our household or anything like that. We still microwave dishes.
Just plastic bags. We've got plastic bags.
Agreed. It looks like we pick and choose what's safe today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
For convenience, that is certainly true. Any other questions? We need to keep moving.
Yep. When you've got a situation where other states, I got out of this Massachusetts, or they have, it's been determined that their soil is dead for 1,000 years. When you see things like that, you're like, okay, we don't need to go down that road. We see what has happened. And if we as a collective can take preemptive steps to do whatever, you know,
it's important necessary. Justin?
Permitting question. So the state gives a permit, but does the landowner actually need a permit too that is being spread on? Is that a base that we could help prevent?
That would be the argument in our cases. We can't control what DEC does, but the landowner needs a permit to be able to do that. And so
does that
we have a moratorium on that?
We could moratorium that.
Right.
Permits issued.
Correct. Okay. Right. They couldn't issue any new permits to that county, for instance, if we get more.
But that's on a municipality, each base? How is that actually regulated?
It's regulated by the state, not by the
state.
So the
state would pick your property wherever, and that's in the permit. That's the only spot you can
Correct.
Yes, and under this moratorium, and again, this is, I'm not the, I'm certainly not the lawyer. I would say that this is novel to the extent Albany County, Schoharie County have done it. So that's what makes it not as novel. We're not the first ones, but us stepping into the role of countywide, no new permits. A landowner cannot obtain a permit for the spreading of biosolids on it. We can't control these. We can't.
Well, you'll get in a conflict with the DEC saying, you can't even do that. We are going to issue a permit. The permit's going to permit, allow spreading X, Y, and Z. Well, we've already said you can't have spreading on X, Y, and Z. Well, we're the DEC. We're telling you we're allowing this permit.
So I guess that's what I'm clarifying. The company of the sludge is the only one that gets the permit. Not Mr. Valino on his property. There's no permit given.
No, I have to have it on my property, and then, you know, at this field, you know, they label the field. These fields are permitted to have it, but I have to have it. Yeah, it would be provided.
That's my understanding. Is the landowner has the permit, and whether whatever company they contract with for that is that that's a private transaction.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. All right. Anything else?
No.
We have not set a record meeting today.
No,
I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Now I'll entertain a motion. Is that a motion to adjourn? Thank you so much. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. We are adjourned.